الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نستعينه نستغفره ونؤمن به عز وجل أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولآله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أيها المسلمون Dear believers, Alhamdulillah, today's topic, in the last of our installment dealing with the Hajj and those things related to the Hajj. From the tafsir of Imam Waratuddin Muhammad radiallahu an, we are entitling this, The Meaning of Abraham to Sacrifice His Son. Repeating. The meaning behind, or the meaning connected with, and I'm going to add the higher meaning of what it meant for him to be willing to sacrifice his son, why he even saw that in a dream. But before we get to that, we'll get to that in the second part of the khutbah. The first part, just very briefly, we're going to address this topic, number one, because Allah mentions it in the Quran. To paraphrase the ayat, Allah talks about Abraham seeing in a dream that he was to sacrifice his son. And he consulted his son Ishmael, peace be on both the prophets. And Ishmael said, if Allah so wills, you will find me patient. And before that he said, if that's what Allah told you to do, daddy, handle your business. Paraphrasing the ayah. So that's number one. Number two, we know that it's part of the Hajj. Not so much for the pilgrims, because the pilgrims are doing the rituals, but there's a group among the pilgrims that will go sacrifice a sheep, a cow, a lamb, etc. And we do that all around the world as well. But also, dear family, one of the ayat that I read 2 weeks in a row mentioned that you should look to the signs, S-I-G-N-S, related to the Hajj. Repetition is the mother of all learning. On last week, we mentioned the fact that the number 7 is a spiritual number. And as connected to the Hajj, you do 7 circumambulations around the Kaaba. You do 7 sa'is running between the two mountains. You throw 7 stones at the different sizes of the shayateen, symbolized or in the shayateen. The idea, family, is completion. 7 also is a number of completion. It's a number of wholeness. So what we pointed out, you and I should get the message to struggle hard, because Hajj is struggle, to do what? Get balance in our lives. Don't give attention to one area of your life and abandon or negate another. Everything has rights. Everything you're supposed to give attention to. Next, we talked about man's, and when I say man, sisters, mankind's struggle between spirituality and materialism. This is what's symbolized in the Sa'i. We know that Hagar, upon her beast, ran between the two mountains looking for food. But the mountains are symbolic, metaphoric for things. It can be knowledge. It can be governments. It could be establishments. It can be principles. So the Imam taught us that the human being is in constant struggle between materialism and spirituality. And we think that they are diametrically opposed. We think that they're enemies of one another. We think they can't coexist. We also think science and religion are a dichotomy. No, science and religion, true science, is grounded in religion. I'm reviewing now, dear family. We also mentioned that Arafat, the mountain, Araf, the surah, all from Arafah, which suggests elevation, it suggests heights, it implies enlightenment, it means to know or to recognize. So what did we point out, dear family? That the day after the pilgrims visit Arafat, which is a must. No Arafat, no Hajj. The day after the pilgrims do Arafat, in other words, Arafat, the plains of Arafat, represent elevation. Some people will actually climb the Mount of Arafat, and you plead to Allah at Arafat. But not only that, people give khutbah at Arafat. So you're learning, you're being taught the religion. You're evolving your spirituality, your knowledge, your growth and development. So what is the message? The next day after Arafat, we slaughter the animal, we slaughter meat, which symbolizes a type of substantive knowledge. That you sacrifice the meat and feed the masses, or you take your enlightenment and give back to the masses. Don't be the type that feather your own cap. Don't be the type that hoard the knowledge and exploit others with it. Give it freely as Allah has given it to you. Allahu Akbar. Bismillahi ar-Rahmani ar-Rahim. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanat wa fi akhirati hasanat wa qina adhaban nar. Our Lord, we pray for excellence in this life. We pray for excellence in the next. And please save us from the torment of the fires of sin. Ameen. Allahu Akbar. Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa ababad. Dear family, we know we are here today on the best day. Jummah is the most significant weekly event in the lives of the Muslims. It is more precious, it is more sacred than the two Eids, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. So for the year, 1439, we're done with our holidays. And on the Gregorian calendar, we are done with our holidays in the year 2018. But we must understand that we have the two Eids, and what are we actually celebrating? The Eid al-Fitr, on one level, is the individual victory, but it's also celebrating the excellent creation, watch this, of the human nature. This world has rejected human nature. Allah has elevated human nature. Allah gave trust to the human nature. What are you talking about? Allah gave Adam the trust. Adam represents the excellence, the original pattern that Allah intended for the human family. So Fitr, human nature. Well, what about this Adha? Adha. We say it's the greater Eid. We say it's the community Eid. So we're celebrating the victory of the community, but we're doing more than that. Adha is connected to bright light. So we're celebrating the enlightenment of the intellect. Yes, Abraham, again, what does he represent? Rationality. Intellectual inquisitiveness. The rational sciences. Rational faith. And that's what this holiday is all about. When the holiday's over, Shakir, man, you all are so quick to get out of the holiday spirit. Let it linger for a while. Let it marinate before we get on with our busy lives. Adha. So we know that on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, the day after Arafat, we symbolize or we sacrifice a sheep. Okay, y'all know the story. I'm not going to give you the story. What do I mean you know the story? Yes, Abraham was ready to sacrifice his son, but before he did it, Allah told him, "You're good, stop. You've already obeyed me. You've already done what I've asked you. No more benefit. Sacrifice a sheep." But all of this is symbolism according to our Imam. So what does it symbolize? The sheep is the symbol that is associated with Abraham. So in one sense, Ishmael is also a sheep. Ishmael is a sign of the lamb, meaning what? Now I want you to pay attention to this, because this is a progression. What do I mean a progression? Ishmael is a sign of innocence, purity. Biblical language says, a lamb without spot or blemish. I'm going to make some connections for you. We have to be able to make connections. Jesus also was referred to as a lamb. Upon him be peace. Upon them be peace. And believe it or not, Muhammad, upon him be peace, also represents sheep or lamb. What are you talking about, Shakir? What ayat is that? What hadith is that? Let's go back to this idea of original nature, innocence, purity, original pattern. It should be clear for you with Adam, and I hope you see it with Jesus, upon him be peace, the fact that when he was first introduced to the world, he was introduced to the world in what they call the nativity scene, which also is connected to nature. He's surrounded by animals, nature. He's in a barn, nature. But what about Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be peace, who lived in a very backward, savage, barbaric society? But our history of his life prior to his prophethood, 40 years, Quran says, a lifetime among you. He was not vulgar. He was not savage. He didn't worship idols. He was mannerable. He was respectful. He was decent, even in the midst of all of what's happening in pagan Arabia. Allah preserved his fitrah. So Allah says, "Laqad kana lakum fi rasulillahi uswatun hasanah." You have indeed in the Messenger of Allah the most excellent pattern, the most excellent example for any who believe in Allah. Remember him much and believe in the last day. Connections, these are all symbols and signs. Yes. Also, when you sacrifice, you can't just sacrifice anything for the pleasure of God. I want you to be clear, because some of us say we make sacrifices. But sometimes, well, I'll put it this way. If it's easy for you, did you make a sacrifice? Allah says another place in the Quran, you will not attain righteousness till you give freely of that which you love. Here, you could have these shoes, and they got holes in them, broken down. What about that new pair you got in the box over there? If you really want to show me how much you care, give me the new pair of shoes. So, brothers and sisters, what am I saying here? I'm trying to let you see that there are only specific animals that we can sacrifice. There's limitations. Abel's sacrifice was accepted, but Cain's wasn't. So we have intentions, and we have motivations, and we have what are you sacrificing. So, on the surface, we think to sacrifice always means a loss. You're giving up something. But look at the context of this sacrifice. Yes, an animal was sacrificed, but it was fed to someone else to nourish them. Do you see the cycle of life? Do you see the connection? Yes, a sacrifice, but nourishment at the same time. It was edible, and it nourished the body. This whole process tells us something. What is being sacrificed? See, in spiritual language, in religious language, lamb, this is what we need to know. Lamb means social nature. Lamb also means spiritual nature. When you talk about being sheepish, depending on who you're talking about, it may not be an insult. I mean, it may be an insult, pardon me. It may be an insult. In other words, sometimes you have to sacrifice things that are not acceptable to Allah. And the beautiful example that the Imam used is that if you are a man and you have no spine, no backbone, no courage, if you're sheepish and timid, that is not an attractive quality. That is also not a quality that this society has been orientated to see in manhood. They see courage and strength, providing and protecting. So some things have to be sacrificed so we can come into our fullness, so we can come into our destiny. And this is all connected to that. I hope you all are following me. And again, not because I'm saying it, but these are some deep concepts. These are concepts that people that feel knuckles and give signs and stand on squares know about. This is the secret information that they keep from the masses so that they can't manage their lives. They can continue to be used, enslaved on all levels, and exploited. So the lamb. When you think about the lamb as a symbol, as an image, social nature, spiritual nature in man. But also lambs are very sure-footed animals. They can climb mountains, pardon me, with little crevices and cracks and keep their balance when we falling all over the place. Sure-footed, again, a symbol. But the lamb is also a symbol of the wise and pious people in religion. Ishmael had to be sacrificed because this mystical side, hear what I'm saying, esoteric, mystical, mysterious, secretive, that's not what Allah wants to be established. Ishmael was going to be that type of leader. Abraham had to sacrifice that because that Abraham didn't support that. Abraham is rational. I've already told you this. Let me just read from my notes. Ishmael was going to be that type of man. Abraham didn't like that in him, the secret side, the mysterious side, so he had to go. Abraham is rational. So what he did was he took the sciences of the elite and turned the people on and taught them what they knew. Again, sacrifice, feeding the masses. Allah loved what Abraham did so much, he made him leader of all the nations. So he's not just our father, he's everybody's father. Now, let's connect this to Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be peace, who also followed the order of Abraham. Sometimes the people would come to Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be peace, even a lot of times through our Jewish brothers, because our Jewish brothers were knowledgeable in Scripture. And he didn't have a lot of interaction with Christians. He had more interaction with Jews. So the Jewish community had Scripture, and they were looking for certain things their Scripture had predicted. They had questions about the boys in the cave. They had questions about Dhul-Qarnayn. These are in the Quran, Surah Al-Kahf in the Quran. That's why Allah revealed that surah to answer their question. But what else? They're looking for a Messiah, the Jews. So they're looking for a prophet. They're looking for one to come. So they want to question Muhammad, upon him be peace, to see if he's the one. Now, the way they're going to tell if he's the one is if he can drop the esoteric, mysterious knowledge. But the prophet knew that's what they were trying to do, so he did not go along with that. I'm going to give you an example from the Quran. Allah says, they ask you about the sun and the moon. Now for them, there's great knowledge, great secret knowledge in that, the sun and the moon as a symbol. So what does the prophet say? He knows that's where they're going, so he just simply says, Allah says, tell them these are symbols that mark time. Don't play into it. You don't have to validate yourself. You don't have to prove nothing to them. You don't have to encourage them in their mysticism. Allahu Akbar. We'll wind it up. So the prophet, upon him be peace, gave them a rational answer. And lastly, dear family, one of the things that we should get, I've actually already said it, but one of the things that we should be getting from this is be charitable. A lot of times when resources get limited, we become stingy. We become selfish, self-interest, self-serving. Now again, in the right context, that has its place. Just like when you're on an airplane, you know, if the oxygen goes out, they don't tell you put it on the baby first, because you be done passed out, you can't help nobody. They tell you, you get the oxygen first, so you can stay conscious to help the baby. Okay, so I get that in the right context. But the message I've already given, and that is simply, when Allah blesses you, when Allah elevates you, mentor somebody else, be unselfish with somebody else. Some of us imams in these various positions and various masajid that we have, we feel threatened sometimes by up-and-coming intellects, our younger brothers and sisters. We want to hold on to the position. I can barely walk in here with a cane. My bones is creaking, but I just can't give it up to nobody. That is a disservice, because actually that one coming behind you, if you will be generous, transparent, and give with integrity and mentor, that one might take what you know to heights that you're incapable of taking it. They can take it to way down the road. We've seen this. Imam Muhammad's family is an example. He got 7, 8 brothers, sisters, whatever. He got several brothers. None of them have the intellect that he has. But they all were exposed to the same teaching. But there was something special in him. And Allah gives us that something special. We have children that we identify something special in them. We love all of our children, but we know that that one is going to be something special. So charitable, free. Don't worry about it. It ain't yours anyway. You can't preserve it anyway. Don't worry about it. We worried about it, what's going to happen when I'm gone. But same thing that was happening before you got here. We must remember this is Allah's business. Allah says, I revealed it and I will propagate it. Now, he might be using you, but again, this brother can fall and Allah can stand up 10 brothers and sisters that run circles around him. We think it's such a loss. Again, and I'm going to close on this. Some might think that the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad radiallahu anhu is in bad shape since his demise. Do you know it's been 10 years since the Imam has been gone? This September 9th, 10 years. Masjid Bilal ain't closed up. Many masajid ain't closed up. We're still building bridges, making inroads, opening schools, building masajid because of what he impregnated us with. This is Allah's business. And I have discovered, I am learning so much in these past 10 years. Yes, I miss him, but there's YouTube, and there's this program, and that. I'm studying old stuff. And I said, how did I miss that? This is Allah's business, family. So I just want to encourage us and know that, like I said before, you could be in the Hajj spirit even though you're not over there. If you've already made it, still take these lessons, apply these lessons, live these lessons. Because it's all, at the end of the day, it's all about community life. All praise is due to Allah. Allahu Akbar.